Ja, hej på er, Jan Lindholm. Jag är alltså bosatt på Folbygden och var med redan på 70-talet när vi demonstrerade mot Ransta och de planer som fanns där. Frågan är, a threat to our future was raised already 30 years ago and it's still valid. Alum shale in Sweden, you found it in many places, but the richest deposits are in Västergötland, where I live, and this shows a little bit about the area where this triangle, you can kind of see it there, comprised of sedimentary rocks, where large area also is alum shale, and that's what's are interested. So Ransta, actually that started already in the beginning of last century to mine radium in this area, but it became unprofitable and was abandoned, and as Gordon said, radium lost its value. In 1953, Sweden was contemplating building their own nuclear weapons and started to think of a technology based on heavy water reactors where they could use natural uranium direct without any enrichment, which would then make us independent of external sources. And they had looked into the alum slates in Västergötland at that time. So in 1960, there was a project started to do a full-scale mining, and it continued up to the end of 1960s, where the prices had dropped considerably, and it was not profitable. But they still started to think of various ways to get oil, get all the other minerals out of the shale, to make it profitable. But fortunately, in 1984, through a lot of protests from environmental groups, from the cities, from everyone, actually, it was stopped, and it also was stopped with a local V2, which is still can be used in Sweden when it comes to uranium mining. So in Ransta, so said, it was in operation, but real mining was stopped at the end of 1960. 215 tons of uranium, yellow cake. 1 million cubic meters of tailings. And a lake, which is 200,000 square meters, and is polluted. And we have heard so much about the various nucleates, and the only one with measurements on here is uranium. We don't know anything about the amount of radium, polonium, or whatever. So this area, we have this, I should have a pointer really, but you see the long lake, that was left of the open pit. And to the left, on the picture, yes, you have the tailings deposit, which originally I just threw in there. I didn't think about how to treat it, but eventually it had to be gathered together and covered up with about nearly 2 meters of cover. This was what it looks like at that time. And the water was collected and some treatments. But now, as for this year, they started to let the water run untreated out from those dams. And as I said, the only thing that I do measure today is the level of uranium and some heavy metals. But I haven't seen any figures on the other nucleates, fortunately. This was the mining area looked like before they started to restore it. And it became a lake, and if you look at it, you don't want to swim there. It's green, it's red, and as I said, it's unsuitable for grazing animals. It's still, in the runoff from the lake, you got 140 kilograms per year of uranium. That doesn't sound much, but it's quite a bit. And some other heavy metals as well, and as I said, water is unsuitable for grazing animals. And even in the recipients further downstream, is still above World Health Organization's recommendations for human consumption. So what's today then? In 1984, when it finally was stopped, we were happy. We said, okay, we made it. There was a lot of people involved. And one of them was Skövde Miljö Forum, was very active, worked hard for these people there. And they're all getting gray and old now, but they was very, very successful. They made a big job of presenting the case and the possible consequences. I mean, if you're going to do a strip mining, which is the only solution, they talked about ISL, in situ leaching, which is a difficult word, but even more difficult to make, because if you saw an earlier picture about the graphics that they have the uranium layers underneath the water table, in ours it's the other way around. We got a solid, very dense material, which is a shale. Underneath that we have a water-carrying layer of sandstone, so that would be the reverse there. So there's no way you can use this method. So the only way to get to the uranium is to do a strip mining, and that will destroy the whole landscape, the whole area, because it's everywhere. There have been a history of mining for limestones for centuries, but they leave fairly small pits, and it's okay, they're still there, you can see them, and they will be there forever, or as long as we are here at first. But doing this in a large scale will actually destroy the whole landscape, all those nice hills and all the farm country for that area. So naturally, when they got new proposals, like in 2005, a company called Swedish Shale Oil Company, which is a funny name because it actually was a company during the war which did mine Alum Shale outside Örebro just to get oil. During the war, we didn't have any imports, so that was didn't matter the cost of it. But that created a tremendous heap. If you go by train from Hallsberg, this depends a little bit with where you go, but if you take the slow train to Stockholm from Gothenburg, you go past Örebro, and then you can see at your left, you can actually see that hill, and it's still smoking. And now it's been kind of they have an art exhibition up there, whatever, to kind of not cover it up. But anyway, so someone got that name. The name was free. So a new company got it. There was some outside foreign investors as well, and applied for prospecting rights, but was denied. And as I was very much involved at that time, and that's why we started the network of no to uranium mining in Sweden, we said, okay, they will be back. I'm sure they were. And next year, they were back to a much larger area. If you look at this map here, from the north end and down to all the south, it covers more or less this whole area of Cambrosilur deposits. And it's a huge area. And if they were to be granted, if we hope they won't. But unfortunately, they have come back. That was denied. That was the authorities said, no, you can't do it because it's too dangerous to the environment, and it's the risk for pollution of the water and so on are absolutely too great. So we will not give it. But they have appealed, so we will see. Hopefully, they will not get permission. Thank you.
All right, questions? Yara?
Yeah, I've seen an estimation that so we supply the Swedish reactors with fuel from Ranstad, you need to destroy about 1 square kilometer every year. Have you seen that estimation?
Yeah, I think we have it. It's something like that, between 1 and 2 square kilometers per year. But that's with the present number of reactors. If you're going to double them, But there are more sites which are interesting. But this is one of the richer sites.
I just wonder if you could say something regarding the costs. There was a mention in the CRE-RAD presentation about the relative cost of reclamation per the amount of uranium mined.
Up to date, it's been nearly 200 million, and I estimate it will be top about 250 million before they got done with it. So 250 million Swedish crowns. So that's about a million per ton, and it comes up to the figure of $40 per pound or something, which is quite a lot.
Not a question. I happen to be from Falköping too. I was grown up there, and I remember we read that when Carl von Linné was very interested for us this year, when he was at Mossberg and looked out over this scene, he said, "This must be the paradise." So I hope this paradise
actually,
will
this
not
was,
be spoiled.
This was what he saw. This was the view he saw, because this is standing up on Olleberg, looking towards Kinnekulle, which is at Lake Vänern. So this is actually what he saw. Thank you.
Birgitta Hambraeus, are you planning to try to get the local parliaments to decide to use the community veto, just to say that we are not going to allow any uranium mining in our community?
In both those cases, we have got all the community of Skövde and community of Falköping, all parties, all political parties have said, no, we will not have this. And I hope then that if it comes to a proposal of mining, that the actual law will say no once again. It's from the moment they have decided that they don't want this, and it goes for farmers, it goes for everyone.
I think you need that the local parliament should take this decision formally and write it down, so that's because then it's harder to withdraw.
I will ask our local the one who runs the town, Kommunal Råd, and his name is Ulf Eriksson, and he was also involved in 1976, and I can tell you which party represents the center party. Thank you very much.